Hey, we're wrapping up a series called Starting Over, and we're in the third part, and the subtitle, which explains the whole series, is essentially this: Starting Over, How to Ensure Next Time Won't Be Like Last Time. And we're wrapping up a four-part series, which means if you're here for the first time or the first time in a long time, you've missed the first three parts. The good news is if you go to startingoverseries.org, the entire series will be there as long as there's electricity, and I would highly recommend that you go back and watch the first two or three messages, especially because today as we wrap this up, we're going to review a little bit, but we're going to go pretty quick, and again, all of these things build. And the whole idea is this, that if you're starting over in business, a relationship, a new marriage, you're starting over academically, professionally, financially, the tendency is to jump in and to rush in and to basically do things just like you did them last time. So then consequently, you end up with the same result as you had last time. And we've said from the very beginning, the interesting thing is this, we learn from our mistakes. We learn from our mistakes in the areas that matter least, but we repeat our mistakes in the areas that matter most. That we learn from our mistakes and the things that matter least, you know, board games and texting and how to direct message and, you know, how to update the firmware on your computer and all those kinds of things. We learn pretty quick. But in the areas that matter most, relationally, financially, and our marriage and parenting and lots of the areas that matter most, for whatever reason, we tend not to learn and we tend to repeat our mistakes. And we said there's three reasons we do this. We call these three myths, call it the experience myth. We think the experience makes you wiser. Since you had a bad experience, you know, surely you became wiser because of your experience. We said that's a myth. Experience does not make you wiser. Experience just makes you what? Older. Yeah, some of you are paying attention. That's right. It makes you older. Experience doesn't make you wiser. Evaluated experience makes you wiser. And so part of this series was to give us some tools to evaluate our experience. The second reason we don't learn from our mistakes sometimes and the next time isn't any better than last time is we call it the know better, do better myth. Since we know better, we'll do better. Now that I know better, I'm sure I'll do better. But as we talked about, simply knowing better doesn't mean you'll do better, because knowing better doesn't mean you have the power to do better. Knowing better doesn't mean you have the self-control to do better. Knowing better doesn't mean you'll have the discipline to do any better. We've all known better and done it anyway. So simply knowing better because of past experience doesn't mean you'll do better in the future. And then we talked about the time myth. The time myth, as I need to jump back in. You know, my life's wasting, all my friends, you know, all my family, everybody's moving on with their life. I need to jump back in. I'm not getting any younger. And we said the truth is time is your friend. Time is your friend. And how you use that space of time between last time and next time is critical. So we've talked about some things to do in the meantime and why it's unnecessary and why oftentimes it's harmful to jump right back into something new without learning the lessons from the past. So we said in order to make sure that next time isn't like last time, to make sure that next time is better than last time, there's three things you have to do. We've talked about two. We'll talk about the third one today. We said number one, you got to own it. That is, you've got to own your piece of the pie. You've got to take responsibility for what was your fault. I granted 95% of it was somebody else's fault. That teacher, nobody liked that teacher. Your boss was unfair. Your parents, you know, they were stuck in some other generation, so they didn't get it. So it's your parents' fault. You know, it's your grandparents' fault. It's always somebody else's fault. But we said, regardless of where you're having to start over, part of it was your fault. If you're 18 years and older, okay, 18 and under, we're not counting. 18 and older, part of it was your fault, right? And so in order to make sure next time isn't like last time, you've got to own your slice of the pie. Then last week we talked about rethink it. Rethink it is simply this. We always ask the question, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? But we never stop to answer the question. We look back at the things we regret and go, what was I thinking? Good question. We never stop to answer the question. So last week we said, you got to stop and actually answer the question. What were you thinking? Because if you don't think differently, you won't act differently. And if you continue to think the way you think, you'll continue to do the very same things you used to do. So I challenged you. Don't be a, let's see how much you were paying attention. Don't be a conformer, be a transformer. That's right. And I was shocked at how many adults knew which transformer that was. I got texts and direct messages and Twitter all week long about using that transformer. I had no idea who it was. So you watch too many movies or you play with too many toys. But anyway, so that's right. Don't be a conformer, be a transformer. So today we're going to wrap up and talk about the third part of this, release it. Release it. So it's own it, rethink it, and release it. So here's what I mean by that. In the first week, we looked at this little pie chart. You'll remember this. And we said, this is the circle of blame. This is all the blame in terms of why I went wrong last time. Why you didn't, your last semester wasn't so good. Why that last relationship ended the way it did. Why your boss said what he said. Why your career. Why your finances. Why the debt. You know, all whatever the blame is. Here's the circle of blame. And we said essentially in most of our cases, our slice of the pie, in other words, the part that's, you know, we're to blame for, is really only about, you know, 5%, because we love, you know, blaming other people. But we said, in order to move forward, you've got to own your slice. So week number one, we talked about this little itty-bitty slice right here, owning your slice of the pie. Release it, and what we're going to talk about today is the rest of the pie. In other words, it's the part that the other person or the other parties really are to blame for. It really was their fault. They really did hurt you. They really did betray you. They really did break their promise. They really didn't come through for you. They really lied to you. In other words, they really had a big part in the fact that you're having to start over in a marriage or financially or whatever it is. But the thing is this, even though they are to blame, you have a responsibility and I have a responsibility in terms of what I do with this. And let me explain it this way. And this is so important. Just like not owning your slice here, just like not owning your responsibility here allows you to smuggle your issues into your future. Remember that? If you don't own this part, you sneak your issues, your dysfunction, your habits, your bad habits, you smuggle all of this into your future. Just like not owning this allows you to smuggle your issues into your future. Not dealing with this part enables other people to smuggle their issues into your future. If you don't deal with the part that was done to you, if you don't deal with the betrayal, if you don't deal with the hurt and the anger as a result of the hurt, if you don't deal with this properly, here's what happens. And we're all old enough to know this. The people that you dislike the most, the people you hope you never see again, the people you have to interact with but you don't enjoy it, the people that betrayed you, the people that you can't believe they did what they did, if you don't deal with this properly, and you know this, you allow them, you empower them to smuggle their issues into your future. And you don't want that. And this is why people who start over end up with the same results sometimes, because they're dragging the past with them. Either the part they refuse to own in terms of their share of the blame, or they refuse to deal with the shrapnel or the angst that comes as a result of being hurt or betrayed or left or abandoned or fired or mistreated or stolen from or betrayed or lied about or whatever it was. So here, let me ask you two very, very insensitive questions. And I told you before, when I tried to be a counselor, I was a complete failure. And so here's more evidence as to why. So let me ask you two really, really, and it's a lot easier when there's a crowd because I can't read your body language and I'll think I'm doing well. Okay, so let me just ask you two very insensitive questions. And if this elicits a little bit too much emotion, you know, for church service or, you know, for what you're dealing with, I'm sorry. But I just want to make sure going forward that next time is better than last time. So two very insensitive. In fact, when you read these questions, especially the first one, you'll think, are you kidding? I mean, does anybody even have an answer for that? And apparently not, because I used to ask individuals this question all the time and they gave me the same look you're about to give me, but I just thought it was a good question. So, and I've run out of material. So anyway, here's the question, okay? You ready? How far into your future do you intend to carry the angst created in your past? How far into your future do you plan? You say, well, I don't plan. That's why I'm asking the question. How far into your future do you plan to carry the angst? And I struggle with this word because it's not really anger, although it's sometimes there's anger from your past. It's not really anxiety, but sometimes there's anxiety from your past. It's more than fear, but sometimes there's fear from your past. And you go into the next relationship without much trust because, you know, you were betrayed in the previous relationship. So this is just a general word, angst, for all the angst from the past because of the things that happened to you. So here's a good question. I think this is an important question. How far into your future do you plan or do you intend to carry the angst created in your past? You say, well, I don't really have any plans. Well, I think this is an important question because if you don't plan to drop it and if you don't plan to deal with it, you know this, you're going to carry it. I mean, you saw this with your parents, right? And your dad finally sat down and said, well, the reason mom's the way she is because her mom did something and her mom's mom did something. It goes all the way back to Eve. But anyway, we have to just deal with it. And we can't, you know, we can't go back and change the past. But your mom and, you know, your mom sat down and said, well, the reason your dad is this is because his dad was that. In fact, we're all so good at self-analyzing. We all have pretty much come up with a way to excuse all of our behavior and blame it on somebody else. So this is not new information for any of us. But here's the question. Granted, you are who you are because of the people who came before you, and granted, you have issues because you inherited them, and you had issues because you were raised without anything, and now you're a workaholic. I mean, granted, we all understand that our current situation is connected to our past. We get that. Here's the question. This is an important question. How long do you intend to carry the angst created in your past into your future? Or how long do you plan to allow the people who mistreated you to influence you? It's another way of asking the same insensitive question. How long do you plan to allow the people who mistreated you, the ones that betrayed you, the ones that abandoned you, how long do you plan to allow them to continue to influence your future? You go, well, I don't know. And I used to ask people this question. Let's get the calendar out. Do you plan to do this the rest of your life? Maybe just through this next marriage until you bust it up too, and then maybe, I mean, how long? Through college? Until you retire? It's like people go, I never thought of it like that. You need to think of it like that. How long do you plan to allow that big piece of the pie? We all love that big piece of the pie. That, you know, it's the majority of the pie. We love it because it's our story. When people start getting on our case, we go, well, let me explain why I'm this way. And by the time you finish their story, you know, they're giving you Starbucks cards and Braves tickets and letting you use their lake house. I'm so sorry. And if I were you, I'd feel the same way. And if I were you, I'd be as screwed up as you are. And if I went through that, I'm sure I'd be angry too. I mean, this is our story. But here's the adult question. How long? How long are you going to empower the people that you don't even like to continue to influence your future? Now, I think if you were to answer that question honestly, you would say, well, I would like for it to end today. I don't want to empower the people that aren't even around anymore. I don't want to empower the people that mistreated me. I don't want to empower my 10th grade teacher because I was in front of the class and she made that one statement about me and I was so humiliated and the whole class laughed. And from that point on, I've just kind of had a feeling that I must look that way or I must come across that way. And I've been carrying this deep insecurity because of a father wound or a mother wound. Okay, all of that's real. But how long do you want to carry that? How long are you going to give them permission to reach into your future and impact your future? And here's why this connects to our series. Because if next time is going to be better than last time, then you got to fully deal with everything that happened last time. Let me ask you another question. This is an easier one. Have you ever met anyone who just really, you know, seem to have their life together and their act together, and they just seem like normal people, and, you know, they kind of had wrinkle-free life, it looks like. They just grew up, went to school, went to college, met somebody nice, got married, and their life just, it's sort of idyllic. It's just a, kind of an amazing life. And then you get to know them, and at some point you hear their story. You ever had this happen? And when they tell you their story, there's some shocking thing in their past, and you look at them, and this is what you're thinking. You're thinking, I had no idea. And then you think this, no one would ever guess that you had that screwed up of a childhood, or no one would ever guess that you went through that, or no one would ever guess that you know, your world was rocked that way. You ever had that happen? And maybe if you're in a small group or community group, and people are telling their story, and they're just the nicest couple, and she just tells this incredible story of past, or he tells a story about dealing with alcoholism or addiction or drug addiction, or they went through a really tough time in their marriage, and you sit there and you're like, no one would ever know that about you. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. The goal is to be able to move through and to move beyond things that really have the potential to rock your world and mark you for life, and to be able to move beyond those. Now, because of what I do, because I'm a pastor, and because I'm curious, and because sometimes my social skills aren't great, when people tell me those stories, I always, 100% of the time, I stop them and say, wait, okay, how did you get past that? I always say, wait, okay, that's amazing. Before we move on, wait, let's go back. How in the world did you get from there to normal? How did you get from there to healthy? How did you get from there to the person you are today? Because nobody in this room, nobody who knows you would ever guess you had that in your past. Wait, before we move too quickly, How did you escape that? Why is it there seems to be no indication of that in the way that you parent, the way that you relate to your husband, your wife, that your tone of voice, the way that you handle stress? Why is it you were able to just move beyond that completely? What is that? I always ask that question. And 100% of the time, 100% of the time, I hear some version of this. They decided. They all say, well, you know what? I decided, well, that's a good question. And, you know, well, here's what happened, Andy. I decided, well, you're right. And that's a good, you know, but I guess at some point I decided, and these are my words, not there. Basically, they decided my past will remind me, it will not define me. My past will remind me, I'm going to learn some lessons from the past. I'm going to make sure I don't do what was done to me. I'm going to make sure I never make anyone feel the way those people made me feel. I'm going to parent differently. I'm going to marry differently. I'm going to learn from the past. The past is going to remind me. But I decided the past will not define me. So here's the point of my message today, and we're actually going to look at one of the most amazing passages of Scripture in the New Testament that relates to this. But if you don't get anything else, here's what you need to know. Even if you're not a Christian, you have the ability to decide to leave that behind you. You have that power. You've met enough people, I've met enough people, some of you are those people, that regardless of all kinds of things from the past, where you were deeply hurt, deeply wounded, deeply betrayed, deeply abandoned, all those things, you have the ability to decide to do something about it. That's why I asked the question. How long do you plan to allow the past to drive and influence and control your future? And until you answer that question, and until you have some skills to know how to move forward, next time, I'm afraid, it's going to look a little bit too much like last time. About a month ago, I was working on this message. I worked way ahead, and I have a dear, dear friend who went through just an unbelievable set of circumstances. And so I was in a situation where she was there, and I pulled her over to the side. I said, okay, I hate to bring up the past, but we're good enough friends. I said, I want to ask you this question because I'm going to talk about this in a few weeks. And I said, come on. Everybody who knows you knows what you went through. Everybody who knows you now, that no one would ever guess. I mean, you just seem to have moved beyond it, dealt with it. I mean, unless you're in some denial or you're counseling or there's some deep, dark secret. Tell me, how did you move beyond it? Why is it that that previous situation doesn't continue to drive your attitude and cause you to be angry and cause you to be bitter and cause you to have a little bit of an edge? Because we all know people that just carry it. What did you do? And here is almost a direct quote. I got my phone out. I said, hold on, I want to write it down just the way you said it. And here's what she said. This is a quote. I decided there was enough pain in life. I wasn't going to drag that along with me the rest of my life. It wasn't worth it. I decided, you know what? I got enough new stuff in the future to face. I don't have capacity to carry the past stuff. So I decided there's enough pain. I'm not going to drag this along with me. It's not worth it. And here's what you know, but if you haven't heard it in a while, let me go ahead and repeat it for you. It's not worth it. And you have the power to decide to deal with it and move on. And if you don't, it's going to show up in your future. And next time, it's going to start looking too much like last time. So to ensure that next time won't be like last time, you got to release the past so the past can release you. You got to release the past in order to get the past to release you. You've got to release the past in order for the past to release you. And all of that boils down to one very, very familiar word that we talk a lot about in church, and we're all about it when it comes to God's relationship with us. But sometimes we get confused in terms of our relationships with other people. And it all boils down to this one single little word. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgiveness, even though you understand what forgiveness is, forgiveness allows us to leverage the lessons of the past without lugging around the luggage from the past. Forgiveness allows us to leverage the lessons from the past. The past will remind me, it's not going to define me. Forgiveness allows you to leverage the lessons from the past without having to carry around all the luggage from the past. Now, here's an amazing thing. You know all this. None of this is new for any of us. If anything, I've just prayed that for some of you that are hanging on, for some of you that think, I can't decide, for some of you who think, I'm overwhelmed by this, it's always going to drag me down, it's always going to be part of my story, it's always going to define me, it's always going to define define my marriage and my relationships, I want you to know that you can decide to move on. And I don't mean you're going to decide today. I'm not going to make this so simplistic that after you hear this fantastic sermon and see all of my cool little phrases, and then we have a big powerful song, that you'll walk out the doors or turn off your computer or turn off your television, everything will be fine. I don't believe that. But I do believe this. If you decide, God will honor that decision. And in time, your past will be an incredible reminder. The people will meet you, and they will be shocked when they hear your story, because there will be no trace, there will be no evidence. There will just be some powerful lessons learned, because you can decide to forgive. And through forgiveness, you begin the process of allowing the past to be the past. Now, the Apostle Paul, who, as many of you know, he comes onto history as a Christian hater. He hated Christians. So if you hate Christians, you should read the Apostle Paul, because he hated them too. But as you've heard me say before, he didn't just hate them. He had them arrested. You may know some Christians you'd like to have arrested. Again, you love the Apostle Paul. So he hates Christians. Then he becomes a Christian. And then he begins writing letters to Christians. And in one of these letters, his letter to the church in Ephesus — you can visit Ephesus today, it's an ancient city, lots of cool stuff in Ephesus — and the church at Ephesus, he gives them an insight into forgiveness and anger and this whole thing about the past that is so extraordinary. I'm telling you, even if you don't believe the Bible's inspired, and that's okay, even if you don't think it's all true, that's okay. Imagine what I'm about to read, this amazing thing to you. This is the kind of stuff that's in there. You should read it just because you care about you. You should read it just because it's full of this kind of wisdom. And to think that this insight that has the potential to unlock your past and free you from your past, to think that it has been sitting on your grandmama's coffee table, right? That you can simply download an app. This information is so available, and it is so powerful. And the Apostle Paul has an insight into the power of forgiveness that is revolutionary. And hopefully today, as we wrap up this series, this may be the thing that will spark something in you to make some progress and decide not to allow your past to continue to snake its way and smuggle its way into your future. Here's what he says. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read a couple verses to you and explain them as we go. Here's what he says. In your anger, do not sin. Actually, these are two imperatives. If you grew up in church, you might have heard it said this way. Be angry and do not sin. And the reason that translation is a good one is because these are two imperatives. Literally, this says, be angry. It's like, I knew there was something in the Bible I could do. I put a check by that. I'm good at that. Be angry. Okay, you got that. Be angry and do not sin. There's two imperatives. So Paul says, look, there are things that are going to make you angry, and you should be angry. There are things that are going to hurt you, that are going to cause you to be mad. Be mad. But there's a differentiation between being angry and sinning. There's something different about natural, normal anger. In fact, there are things that happen to you. If you aren't angry, it's because you're detached and there's something wrong with you. For some of you, progress would be to get angry, okay? So there's a time and a place for anger. But Paul says, okay, there's a time and a place for anger, but anger has its proper place, and you need to keep anger in its proper place. So he gives us these two imperatives. Be angry or in your anger, do not sin. And then he gives us an insight into what our responsibility when it comes to our anger. And anger is always related to something in the past. Here's what he says. Do not, and the reason I highlighted these two words is because this means there's a decision to make. We get to decide. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Now, a lot of people take this literally, which means you should never go to bed mad, and that's easy because, you know, if it's something as simple as, you know, your husband left shaving cream in the sink again, and God forgive me for being mad, and I forgive him, and honey, don't do it again, and then you go to bed before, okay, that's great. But when it comes to the big bad things, and when it comes to things that went on for weeks and weeks and weeks in a previous relationship or a previous working relationship, or somebody did something really big and bad, this isn't literal. Here's what the Apostle Paul is communicating. He's communicating that at some point, you have the responsibility, and more importantly, at some point, you need to know you have the ability. You have the ability to deal with this. You can decide. So he says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. In other words, decide, how long am I going to do this? How long am I going to carry this? Here's a question. How many more sunsets? How many more times is the sun going to go down without you dealing or deciding to deal with the things that have caused you to be so angry? This is a good question. This is an important question. It's a question that if you don't ask it 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're going to be exactly where you are today. Now, here is the most brilliant part of what he says. This is unbelievable. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. In other words, you have a part to play in this. And do not give. Once again, look, here's your part. You have responsibility. I know what happened. You know, you tell me what happened to you. It breaks my heart. I tell you what happened to me. It breaks your heart. You tell me your story. I tell you my story. We'll have a big Kleenex fest. I mean, it's just horrible. You know what happened to us? And some of you have some stories that, you know, I would be tempted because there is a side of me that's compassionate enough to where I would say, okay, you get a pass. You do not have to forgive. In fact, you should stay mad at them the rest of your life because of what they did. I get that. I mean, there's stories I've heard where I'm like, I would never feel like I had the moral authority to tell you what to do with your pain. That is so deep and dark. But the Apostle Paul says, but regardless, there's a role for you to play. There's something you can do. So look at this. He says, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. And this is amazing. And do not give or do not grant or do not gift the devil a foothold. Now, I want to come back to the devil in just a second, but I want to talk about this word first of all. This word is translated in some English translations, opportunity. It literally means a staging area. A staging area. Don't give the devil a staging area in your life. Don't give the devil, or figuratively, an opportunity. Don't give the devil a place to camp out and set up tents, shop, and invite a bunch of his friends. In other words, don't allow your anger to result in something that stays with you forever to where your enemy is able to wreak havoc in your life forever and ever and ever and ever. Well, how do we keep that from happening? He says, it's by dealing with your anger. It's by deciding, only 4 more sunsets and I'm done with this. Only 8 more sunsets and I'm done with this. Only 3 more weeks and I'm done with this. I'm going to be done with this by the end of the week. By the end of the year, I'm going to do whatever I need to do so that January 1st next year, this is completely in my past. It's going to take me a while. It's going to take some counseling. It's going to take some accountability. But I've decided this is the year that it ends because I do not want my enemy to have a staging ground in my life that reaches into my next marriage, the way I parent, the way I grandparent, the way I work, the way I deal with my money, the way I deal with temptation, the way I deal with responsibility. Now, the other interesting thing, this is so fascinating, is the word devil, there in the Greek New Testament, there's a word that's translated Satan. You know, Satan, you know, it's like the devil's name is Satan, or you can. Some people say it's the name, some people say it's the description of a Satan. The Apostle Paul doesn't use the word here. The Apostle Paul, in this passage, uses the Greek word that means deceiver or liar or strategizer or deceiver. You know, and so some English translations, older English translations, don't put the word devil here. They simply put the word liar or deceiver here. Now, here's why I think that's interesting. Because if when you see the word devil, suddenly our mind goes from either Halloween or some pictures from the Middle Ages, or we don't know because we don't talk about the devil. But the more practical way to understand this verse, and here's what makes it so brilliant, is if you were to take out the word devil, and if you were to put the name of the person who hurt you here, this verse would make perfect sense to you. Now, I'm not saying they're the devil. You think they're the devil. I'm not saying that, okay? But here is the leverage point of this verse, and here is the power of this verse. Here's what he's communicating. He's saying, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you allow the sun to go down on your anger night after night after night after night forever and ever and ever and ever, you are giving, fill in the blank. You are giving, fill in the blank, that boss, that teacher, that president, that corporate, you know, attorney, that executive, your mom, your dad, that person, that ex-husband, that wife, you are giving them a foothold in your life. That's the brilliance of this verse. And here's what I know about you. You do not want to give the person that hurt you the most a staging ground in your heart. You don't. You know you don't. In fact, some of you have done that for so long, you're like, you're right, and I keep overreacting, and I keep overreacting, and I underreact, and I know there's something wrong. It's because too many sunsets on anger you never dealt with. Stuff you never dealt with. So next time is kind of like last time, and you're wondering why. It's Paul says, look, you have to decide. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's overnight. You have to decide. And once you decide I'm going to do whatever it takes for this to be in the past forever. I'm going to learn from it, but I'm not going to be led by it. I'm going to learn from it, but it's not going to be my legacy. I'm going to learn from it, but it is not going to define me. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil. Do not give the deceiver. Do not give the slanderer. Do not give, you put somebody's name in there, an opportunity. So here's what he's saying. He's saying there's a place for anger. There's a place for anger, but you got to keep it in its place. There is a place for anger. There's a time for anger, but you got to keep it in its place. And then a few verses later, he comes back to this whole idea, and look what he says. Here it is again. Get rid of, see, we have a part to play in this. Get rid of, in other words, go do something. Get rid of, decide. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, and there's our word, forgiving each other. And the word forgiving here actually just means to pardon. You know, forgiveness, we kind of get kind of out there about forgiveness. Forgiveness is simply a pardon. Do you know what a pardon is? A pardon is, you're guilty, but I'm going to let you off. You're guilty, I'm not going to punish you. You're guilty, you can go free. It's not that you're not guilty. It's not that I'm dumbing down what you did. You did it. But I am choosing to no longer prosecute you for what you did. That's a pardon. And Paul says, Christians have a responsibility. Everybody's invited to play, even if you're not a Christian. But Christians have a responsibility to pardon the people that have done wrong to them. Now, the question always comes up, does that mean I shouldn't call the police? No, if somebody breaks the law, call the police. If somebody did something personal to you that breaks the law, call the police. Then they have two people to deal with. They have the government to deal with, and they have you to deal with. And the government might throw them in jail, and you can still pardon them. You can visit them in jail and say, I pardon you. Unfortunately, the judge didn't. See ya. Gotta go, okay? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. This comes up all the time. We get these two things confused. Well, if I forgive them, should I call the police? Well, I forgave them. Should I still call the police? Yes. If they broke the law, you call the police. If they broke the law, you engage the authorities. But even though the authorities may get engaged, and even though the authorities find them guilty or not guilty, you still have a personal responsibility to decide. To decide. Am I going to allow what they did to me to chase me into my future? Or am I willing, now that the legal part's over, or in the middle of the legal part, am I willing to pardon them, to decide you don't owe me anymore? Your mistreatment of me is not going to define my life. And for Christians, the bar gets raised in this next phrase because he says this, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That is, we were actually guilty and God actually pardoned us. We were actually guilty and God didn't make us pay him back because we couldn't. He pardoned us, which means not only do you have the opportunity, but if you're a Christian, we have the responsibility. And yet it's not a responsibility that leaves us kind of spinning in the wind. It's a responsibility that actually serves us well, because forgiveness is the way to ensure that the people who hurt us in the past don't continue to influence us in the future. So here's what he says. I want you to pardon as you've been pardoned. And here's the implication. And I want you to go first so that you can go on. In other words, you're not going to sit around and wait for them to come and apologize. Let's face it, they don't even know what they've done half the time, right? They're not going to come and apologize because they're who they are. And if you wait around for them to apologize, you may wait your whole life and they may never come to the same conclusion you have about what they've done. So you can go first. You go first so you can go on. You go first so you can go on. You just decide. You know what? As my friend said, life's got enough stuff to deal with. It's not worth it. I'm not going to drag it around. I decided to forgive. I decided to pardon. I decided, and here's what a pardon is. I decided you don't owe me. You don't owe me. Now, you actually owe me, but I've decided not to hold you accountable to what you owe me. And if you're serious about this, and if there's a lot to deal with, and if it's new to you, I want to give you a first step. And the first step, and this is very important, I want to encourage you to make a list of what they owe you. It is not enough. The reason some of you would say, well, Andy, I forgave them and it didn't help. Well, it's because you prayed a prayer that went like this. God, I just want to forgive them. And that's not enough. You need to write down everything they owe you. And you think, well, that won't take long. It's going to take longer than you think, because once you start, you're going to get going. And you're going to enjoy it. Because see, here's what they did. They stole my reputation. They stole my time. They stole my first marriage. They stole my opportunity to raise my kids. They stole my opportunity to put my daughter to bed at night. They stole, they stole, they took, they stole, they stole. Oh my gosh, I had no idea all the stuff they took from me. So you got to write it down. Because before you pardon someone, you need to have a crystal clear picture of what it is you're pardoning them for. This is why I don't think Paul was literal when he said, before the sun goes down. Because there are some things you can forgive before the sun sets, but there are some things that take a few sunsets. But his point is, don't let the sun set on your life before you decide to forgive. Now, hearkening back to our second week, this is very important. Look at this. Here's what I know. Listen. You will never let go of their part until you first own your part. I'm telling you. You will never be able to fully pardon and let go of what they did until you first, that's why I started with this one, until you first own what you did. If you start here, you'll just stay mad. And the reason you'll stay mad is because you have used your anger. You have used your anger to shield you from this. And there is a fear in so many people of forgiving, because if I forgive what they did, I am left with what I did. And this is one reason some people are never able to fully move on, because they know back there in this big cloud of blame, this big cloud of guilt as it relates to the other person, back there in that big cloud is something I did wrong, and I don't want to face what I did, and I don't want to own what I did, so I'll just stay mad. Because as long as I'm angry, and as long as I'm mad, and as long as I blame, I don't have to face my part. And if that's your decision, for fear, and we all fear facing the reality of what we've done. We all fear looking in the mirror. But if that's your fear, and you refuse to take responsibility for your part of the pie, you lock yourself into a future that's influenced, and in some cases controlled, by the very people who hurt you most. And you don't want to do that. So, that's why you start here. And then you ask, what was I thinking? And then you choose to forgive, because your past should remind you, but it should not define you. Your past should remind you, but it shouldn't define you. So release the past, forgive, and the past will release you. So that's it. So if you're starting over, three things you got to do. You got it? If you're starting over, if you want next time to be better than last time, three things you have to do. There may be more than these three things, but for sure, you got to own it. You got to rethink it, and you got to release it. By own it, you've got to own your slice of the pie, and you got to own it so it won't own you. In terms of rethink it, it's identify and reject those lethal assumptions we talked about last week. It's don't be a conformer, be a transformer. And release it is release the past, so the past will release you. Pardon as you have been pardoned. And here's the great news. The great news is this, that next time really can be better than last time. But not if you rush. Not if you jump in too quick. Not if you refuse to do the difficult work. Next time can be better than last time if you decide it's going to be. And there may be other things you need to do and other things you need to factor in, but I guarantee you this. Getting ready for that next relationship, another marriage, a new semester, a new job, a new deal, a new responsibility, a new company. You've got to look back and ask the question, what was my part? You've got to ask the question, what was I thinking? And then you've got to ask the question, how long am I going to carry the past into the future? And if you will allow God to drill these three things into your life, and if you'll focus on them, the next time really can be better than last time. And after all, this is your story. This is your life. You get to decide what story you want to tell. And my hope and my prayer is that it will be a life worth living, and it'll be a story worth telling. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to close our time today with this powerful, powerful musical reminder. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the freedom to just talk about these things. And Father, I made it sound simple. It's not simple. And Father, I made it sound very matter of fact. It's extremely emotional. And so, Father, where this truth today touches down on some difficult, difficult reality, would you give listeners ears to hear what you have to say? Would you give those of us here today who would love to decide, who would love to move on, but we struggle and struggle and struggle, would you give us the insight we need to at least take a next step? And Father, I pray that there wouldn't be too many more suns that set on the stuff of our past that leaks into and controls our future. So please give each of us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard, and then give us the courage to do it. And Father, we pray all of these things in the matchless name of Jesus our Lord, our pardoner, and our forgiver. Amen.